If you'll just look at your bulletin or on the screen in back of me, the problem of laziness in Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, God speaks very boldly about this problem. It's God's desire that we discover our laziness before it does destruction to our lives. Laziness is a travesty to the human dignity and being created in God's image. It is a waste of mind and money and time and talent that God has given. If you would just take your Bibles and open to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, you will see that God, when he made Adam and Eve, he placed them in the garden. And I know some of you aren't going to want to hear this. They weren't on the beach of Miami. They were in a garden. And notice what the scripture text says. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And some of you are going, oh, no. Now, this was before the fall. Don't think that the fall brought work. A lot of people think that I have to go to work every day because of sin in this world. No, sin just changed the character of work. God put him in the garden to work it and to keep it. But I want to tell you, before the fall, work was sheer enjoyment, was pleasure, was fulfillment, had great value. God works, and he made us in his image, and he made us to work and to be diligent and to use this marvelous capacity of this little 3-pound organ between our ears called the human brain. And the talents he's given us, think of the people who write this music and sing, and all the talent in this church, all the kinds of talent, God gave that to be used and to help the human race. In the book of Proverbs, and this is very important, laziness is a character issue. It's a spiritual issue. It's a moral issue. It is not just something to make fun of. Oh, that lazy bones guy. No, it's actually something that ruins character and wastes life. Let me just give you three areas of laziness, but we'll, of course, focus on the last one. First of all, there's physical laziness. People are physically lazy. That's why they won't exercise. They won't help themselves. Here's an article in the newspaper headline. Americans still lazy, study finds. Knowing that exercise improves health is not enough to make Americans go out and do it. According to a study of the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, excuses offered were too tired, too lazy, too busy. I think of the tragedy today of children sitting in front of a TV and a computer hour after hour after hour when they should be out riding their bicycles, running around and playing as God made them. Now, we've said this series on Proverbs is for dads and moms, so it's for everyone here. But I want to remind you, we're aiming at dads and moms in the development and training of their children. Dads and moms, don't let your children become lazy kids. Let them have certain amount of time in front of that TV, certain amount of time in front of that computer, but let them run outside because God made them to run around, to use their muscles, to build their bones, and to socialize with other people. That is part of healthy growing up. When I go to a home and I see a child hours on end in front of a computer, I know that child is making some big life mistakes they may not be able to reverse. Number two, there's mental laziness. Mental laziness also is a great tragedy when we think of how God has made us such brilliant, intelligent, creative creatures. People who don't want to read. They don't want to study. They simply don't want to learn or grow. Here's something from our newspaper yesterday I cut out for you. Can Denver school officials possibly believe and accept that more than 60% of their students are incapable of learning to read? That is horrible. All around us, there is so much to learn. There's so much going on, and we check out mentally. Here's something from the papers. Students were far more knowledgeable about pop culture. For example, 99% could identify Beavis and Butthead as TV cartoon characters, but only 23% identified James Madison as the principal framer of the Constitution. Ask people about Beavis and Butthead, and they'll tell you a lot. Talk about wasting your brain. More than a third of students didn't know the Constitution established a division of powers in the American government. Many of us don't even look at a newspaper. We don't even listen to the news. We have literally, mentally checked out of this world. Frankly, we know more about the horrors of Hollywood than we know of the great events happening throughout the world right now and the advancement of the gospel or the great characters of the Bible. You ask the average young person about Sarah or Abraham or Isaac and Jacob, and they draw a complete blank. But they know all about these stars, who most of them really are the most self-centered, selfish people you can even conceive of. What about Niger in Africa right now? That poor country ravished by starvation. Only recently have they been able to even get food into that country. What about the whole situation in Africa? Millions dying there. And our TV spent hours and hours on some little court case here and take up the airwaves, wasting good oxygen, and we're not even reporting. Tens of thousands dying a day, millions in a year in Africa of AIDS and starvation. It's just absolutely horrifically horrible. What about the new Supreme Court nominee, which will be so important to our ethical and moral life of our country? What about the shuttle discoveries, re-entry in Monday? Will it come in safely or will it blow to pieces? What about the whole argument of intelligent design? You can hardly read the newspaper, just yesterday our newspaper, arguing, the school systems arguing about those who want to bring intelligent design into the school as a theory, as a means of explaining this world. Perfectly acceptable, but it's being rejected constantly. Do you even know what's going on? How mentally lazy we can become is almost frightening to me. I remember Dr. Harry Hendricks talking about a pathologist, a man who had done thousands of autopsies. And Dr. Harry Hendricks said to this man, he said, "You've done thousands of autopsies." He said, "Yes," he said. "Have you ever seen a brain overused?" And the doctor said, "I've never even seen one really used." I understand we only use the maximum 10% of our brain. Some of us don't even use a 0.5% of our brain. You know what we have become? We have become an entertainment society. We want to sit and we want to watch. If you've ever been to a video store, you'll go to a video store and there are these people who come out of the video store with a bag of videos. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with getting a video to relax for the evening. God wants us to relax. Many of you work very, very hard. Some of you even need to balance off too much work with relaxation. Even Jesus took his disciples aside to rest. They come out with a bag of videos. All I can think of is what a waste of the human brain and of human time which you cannot redeem. I feel sorry for their eyes, personally. You know, in the book of Proverbs, we've seen this. In the book of Proverbs, we are told to chase after wisdom. Search for wisdom. Look for it. Pursue it like a hunter pursues an animal. We are to sell everything to get wisdom. In other words, if you want to be a wise, discerning person, you're going to have to work for it. It's going to cost you something. You won't get it with a bag of videos. All right. Third, spiritual laziness. This is the worst of all. And this is a very big problem. We just don't feel like praying. Praying is work. Oh, it's so hard to read the Bible. We can sit and watch 4 hours of TV, but to read the Bible for 10 minutes, oh, our back hurts, our eyes, I'm getting a headache. We have little time to help other people in need or to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says. Please mark this down. Train yourself in godliness. Or if I were to translate that more accurately, exercise yourself in godliness. And then the analogy goes on to exercise. Bodily exercise has profit, but exercising to godliness has profit now and for eternity. Dr. Donald Bray Gonhouse, a former pastor of 10th Press in Philadelphia, used to always say this. The one thing people dread more than anything else is to have to go to church on Sunday morning and be made to think. They dread that. They want to come to church and be entertained. I was talking just months ago to the president of Mount Carmel Bible School up there in Calgary, Alberta. And I was talking to him, and he said, every year we're seeing students come more and more ignorant of the Bible, coming from Christian homes. And then I talked to the people at Emmaus Bible College, and they said a very similar thing. All entering students take a test. It's a Bible knowledge test. And at the end of their schooling, they take that Bible test again to see what they've learned. And here's what their conclusion is. Every year, we're seeing the entering students come in with lower and lower scores of Bible knowledge. So spiritually, in many ways, we're going backwards. We've got more books than ever, more Bibles coming out. Every year, there's a new Bible you've got to buy. But people seem to have less and less knowledge of the Bible and of spiritual things. Now, my dear friends, spiritual laziness is a huge problem. That's why in almost any church, 10% of the people do the work and 90% of the people sit and watch them and complain. The inside critics. Now, this problem of laziness is not just a problem of young people. I'm going to hit the young people today hard, but I'm leaving for 2 weeks. Do not call me. This is a problem for older people. It's a problem for retired people. I think it's a moral problem, just like we might have moral problems with alcohol or sex or money spending or something like that. This is also an ethical problem. Misusing of the talents and the time that God has given you. I was talking to a church elder, and their church was having a lot of problems. And this man had time because he was an older man. He was retired. And he frankly admitted to me, he said this, I'm puttering away my time on the computer. I'm puttering away my time on the computer. Well, there's nothing wrong with at times puttering on the computer. But he says, I'm puttering my time away, when he had so much to do in that church to save that church. Number two, justifications for laziness. The lazy person is full of excuses. Look at Proverbs 26:13. Now, it's on the screen, but if you're a dad or mom, I want you to open your Bibles, and I want you to see this in your Bible, because you have to find this. It's important that you know where these verses are, because these are relevant problems to us as people. And I want to tell you, Proverbs is actually humorous. If you get a hold of this, it's funny. There's so many humorous things the Bible says about this problem of laziness. All right, first of all, Proverbs 26:13, the sluggard says, there's a lion in the road, a lion in the open square. What does this mean? It simply means that every sluggard, and the term sluggard is used 14 times in the book of Proverbs, so it's an important concept, the sluggard is full of excuses, full of rationalizations and justifications for his laziness. He says there's a lion in the open square, so he's assuming it's a city with walls. Now, my dear friends, in the ancient world, lions don't walk into cities and stand in the open square. So it's a preposterous excuse, but that's the point. Lazy people come up with preposterous, meaningless, ridiculous excuses for their laziness, and they believe their own excuses. Let me give you two that are just so beautiful. A pastor told me this. This pastor asked this couple why they weren't coming to church. Well, they said this. The church is too far away to walk to it on Sunday morning. But it's too close to get the car all warmed up and started and drive there. So we just don't come. Tell me, I would have just passed out laughing to death if I heard that one. You see, there's a lion in the way. We can't go to church. There's a lion out right in the street there. He'll eat us alive if we go. And then this other story he told me. He's talking to this couple who doesn't come to church. He said, now, is there anything we can do to help you come to church? And they said, well, you know, we don't really know if we're going to stay here or move, so we just didn't want to make a decision, go to church. So the pastor asked him, well, how long have you been staying here? Oh, 9 years. There's a lion out there. I don't want to work because I might become a workaholic. And I've seen that, and I don't want to become one of those. I don't want to strain my brain or eyes. I've seen it happen. I'm too young to work hard. I need to vacation more. I already work too hard. The sluggard always sees a problem why he can't work. There is a lion always in the way. There is a great, big, wonderful excuse. Now, a second thing about this justification of laziness, he also says this. The sluggard thinks he knows it all. He's got all the answers. So Proverbs 26:16 says, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men, that's the perfect number, who can give a discreet answer. In other words, you line up seven brilliant minds who can give a brilliant answer, and the sluggard says, I'm wiser than all seven of those men. In other words, the sluggard's got all the answers. Here's some good ones. Mom, I don't need to learn the spell. I'll never use it. I've got spell check. You don't need to learn math. That's for scientists and rocket people. I don't want to be like that. You know what they're like. You don't need to learn grammar. We'll never use it. They resist counsel. They resist knowledge. They resist help. And again, they're filled with self-justification. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who've got all the answers. In other words, lazy people got good excuses, and they actually think they're much smarter than they are. So, young people, if you're here and you are so clever, why you don't need to go to school, and why you don't need to do that paper, and why you don't need to do that job, just remember, those are just lions in the way. Empty excuses. Number three, description of laziness. Oh, Proverbs has so much to say about this. I'm going to pick the four major descriptions of laziness and a lazy person. Number one, the lazy person always needs someone to prod him along. He can seldom begin anything himself. The lazy person always needs someone to prod him along. Now, let's look at Proverbs 6, and there's a couple of these verses you just have to know, and you're going to have to use them. Proverbs 6, 6 to 8. Now, it's not enough to hear this sermon. You've got to know these verses. Take them home. Use them with your children. I'll give you some ideas. I've got two of my children sitting right in the front row. Lazy kids. All right. So, wake up. Wake up, both of you. So, all right. That's all right. I'm leaving them for 2 weeks, too. Okay. Proverbs 6 says this, go to the ant. And I know they're laughing because I did this with them. Go to the ant, O sluggard, which having no chief prepares her food in the summer. In other words, the ant teaches us an invaluable lesson. The ant is not a sluggard. An ant is self-motivated. An ant needs no supervising. An ant needs no prodding. You don't have to go out to the ant. So come on, ant. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, get moving. Never have to do that with an ant. Ants are hard workers. They call them armies of workers. They are hard workers, and they're always moving, and they're always going, they're always preparing, and they don't even need someone to prod them along. But what's a lazy person like? Well, here's what a lazy person is like. This is how you can identify yourself. They always need someone to push them, someone to press them, someone to tie them down. Please, won't you please do your homework? Please, please. We'll give you money, candy, whatever. Do your homework, please. Won't you mow that lawn? Oh, come on. Won't you? Just always begging them to do something. The sluggard always needs someone to prod them along. Do you need someone to prod you along to read your Bible? Prod you along to get to church on Sunday morning? Prod you along to do what you're supposed to do? Well, then you've got a problem with laziness. It's a moral problem. Number two, a second description of a lazy person. The first is they need someone to push them along all the time. They just have no self-motivation. Number two, he does not finish what he starts, so he lets someone else do it for him. He does not finish what he starts. He's a procrastinator. He postpones. He'll do it tomorrow. Now, here are two great Proverbs. Please know where these are. Proverbs 19:24. These Proverbs are so visual, and they're so, the imagery is so dynamic. All right, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth. So you go out with a sluggard, the sage says, and you go to the Outback Steakhouse. And he orders a big, gigantic steak because he's a greedy person, as we'll see in a moment. Gets that big steak right in front of him. He takes his fork. He goes down into that steak. And he says, man, I got to cut that steak. I got to, and I got to saw through that meat. And then I've got to bring that fork all the way back up to my mouth again. And so you know what he does? He just leaves his hand on the plate. He doesn't eat a steak because he's so lazy, he just cannot bring his fork up to his mouth and eat. Now, that is a vivid picture of one lazy person. He does not finish what he starts. He can't even feed himself. Now, another proverb, Proverbs 12:27. The lazy man does not roast his prey. Now, I am not a hunter, but I've been with hunters. And, of course, I've heard all their wild stories. And when a hunter goes out, he has his rifle, and he's out looking for elk, and he sees an elk, boom, shoots the elk, goes over there, big, gigantic, beautiful elk. But then the work starts. You got to string that elk up. You've got to cut that elk open. You've got to gut it, drain that blood. You've got to cut it up into quarters. You've got to haul it out. It is an enormous amount of work. It's one reason I don't go hunting. I wouldn't want all that work. At least I'm honest about it, right? The lazy man does not roast the prey. In other words, he doesn't even cook. He's too lazy to cook his own food. That's how lazy he is. And you know what that man does? He just leaves the elk lie there and he walks off. And I've seen that. People kill beautiful animals and they just, well, it's too much work. Just let them lie there. But now, dads and mom, get the second half of this verse. But the precious possession of a man is diligence. Here's a great verse for your children. More important than money in a wallet, more important than some kind of award you might win, a precious possession is to learn diligence. Dads and moms, there's hardly anything you can do more important than for your children than teach them how to work. Teach them how to work, and we talked about a few weeks ago, teach them self-discipline, and they'll take care of the rest on their own, really. It's so important to teach your children diligence and work. Don't let them start learning this at 35 and 40 after they've ruined some very precious years. Teaching your children a good day's work. Now, I want to give you a warning right now. I see parents who punish their children with work. You know, they've been bad, and then they come home and they say, okay, then you're gonna pull weeds for 2 hours. I'm going to punish you. You're going to paint this house. Well, you start telling your children work is punishment. Instead, we should teach our children work is a privilege. Work is valuable. It's profitable. It's what God has called us to. God works. He's called us to work. We are upon this earth. We have a short time. We are to work. Life is basically called to work. Now, it must be balanced. It must be balanced. But basically, we're called to work. We're called to produce and to be creative. And so this verse says, the lazy person, he doesn't have enough energy to clean up and prepare his own food. But the precious possession of a man is a diligent attitude towards work and towards what is in front of him. How important it is when children are small that they are taught to work. And you prize them for work. You encourage them. And you say, that's a wonderful thing. You need to start when they're little. So they don't get a bad disposition towards work, but they see it as something of great worth and value before God and before parents and everyone else. Teach your children self-discipline. Teach them the importance of diligence in life. And then they need to play, too, because they're children. Number three, third description. He is not concerned about his fellow man, only himself. A lazy person is a selfish person. Doesn't care about the kingdom of God or righteousness or society or the issues that face us today. He's only concerned about his rest and his comfort and his ease and himself. Proverbs 21, verse 25 and 26 says this. The desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. In other words, this man is not going to accomplish anything in life. His hands will not work. And he's going to bring death to his life in every aspect. All day long, the sluggard is craving, desiring. In other words, the sluggard wants this, the sluggard wants that, the sluggard wants this, but he doesn't really want to do anything about it. He'd like to go to college, but he doesn't want to study. He'd like to get that job over there, but boy, he might have to work on a Saturday. He wants this, and he wants all that money. He wants that big house. He wants that car. But he has no idea that he is going to pay a price for it. He desires. But now the righteous give and does not hold back. In other words, a righteous person is always giving, helping, contributing, adding to something. A righteous person contributes to society. The lazy person contributes nothing. They just desire. And because they don't intend to work, they bring death on themselves. Number four, lazy person doesn't grow or go anywhere. Now, this is beautiful. You've got to look at this. Proverbs 26:14. As the door turns on its hinges. Now, I'm going to give you some ideas later, but use these things with your kids because that's what this was for. This is a book for children. This is a book for parents to use for children. Remember what we said. This is for the king. The king teaches the son or the daughter to rule the land. That's the main thing. And then the people of Israel were to take this book, and it was a child-rearing manual for the king's son, and the people were to use it. So take your children to a door and go. Just open. As the door swings on its hinges. Now, does the door go anyplace? Door doesn't go anyplace. Just goes back and forth, back. Do any of you have a door that runs around the house? I've never seen. That's not. It's just back. Now, listen to the imagery here. As the door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. He vacillates. He swings back and forth. He never goes anywhere. He never makes any progress in life. Never makes any decisions. Now he gets in bed and he turns over and he says, oh, I'm so comfortable. This is, so, oh, my bed is so comfortable. Then he turns over, oh, this is even more comfortable. Then he sees the clock, oh, he's got to get up here in another hour, but I'll just sleep. Turns over and the clock goes off and he turns it off, I'll just 5 more minutes. Because this bed is so comfortable and it's so warm and cozy and there's not the hostile world out there. And he loves to swing back and forth on it. He loves his bed. So cozy. Now, I do love my bed about 10:30 or 11 at night. I have to admit, crawling in bed is wonderful. But this man, he doesn't do anything on the bed. He doesn't sleep. He just goes back and forth. He turns and he goes nowhere. He does nothing. The important thing for us is he doesn't grow. He doesn't grow. He doesn't mature. He doesn't learn. He doesn't read. He doesn't stretch himself. He just basically does the same thing every day. Just goes back and forth, back and forth. He's going nowhere in life. Maybe you've heard people say that. Well, that would be this proverb. Here's a guy going nowhere fast. Or for the sluggard, we'd have to say he's going nowhere slowly. God would like you to go someplace. All right, number four, the results of laziness. The results. Number one, you will be poor materially, physically, and spiritually. Basically, you'll have a wasted life. Proverbs 24. Now, everybody has to turn here with me. Now, come on, let's turn here. Don't be lazy. I know some of you are so lazy. To open your Bible is like the last thing you want to do. Now, open your Bible. Come on. I want you to see this verse because I want you to use this. All right. Now, this verse, my children grew to hate this verse. They grew to hate this verse. And I'll tell you why. I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. So, in other words, in parallel structure, a sluggard is a person that lacks sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with needles. Its stone wall was broken down. Now get this. I saw. I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. Now let me tell you why my children hate this verse. Maybe they don't hate it anymore. They used to have piano lessons by a lady named Jeannie Corliss, who used to live in Englewood. And we would take them and drop them off for their piano lessons, and we'd have to go back an hour later, sometimes 2 hours, because we'd have two go at a time. So when I would pick them up, they knew what I was going to do. I would pick them up, and they go, Dad, we got to get home. Yeah, please don't do this. I said, no, we've got to go by the house of the sluggard. And we would drive the opposite way, just one block, and I would turn my car around in front of the house of the sluggard. And they would crawl down and say, Dad, we've seen this 100 times. I said, children, let's go by the house of the sluggard. This house was the house in Proverbs 24. Most of the paint was off this house. On both sides of the house, the gutters were broken and hanging down. It was almost a joke. Every single curtain and curtain rod was broken halfway like this. I must have had an animal in there or something pulling them down. The windows looked like they hadn't been washed in years. The grass, of course, was completely overgrown. Chips of cement off the side of the foundation. And about a 15-foot pile of large black garbage bags on the side of the house. And so I would drive down, turn around right in front of the house, and I'd say, "Children, observe the house of the sluggard." Do you remember that? Observe the house of the sluggard. That's what happens when you're a sluggard. Now, I want you to notice the real important point. He says, "I saw, I reflected upon it, I looked." Now, here it is. "I received instruction." In other words, he learned from the sluggard. He learned. Now, here's what he learned. So, in other words, dads and moms, when you have object lessons in front of you, you use them with your children. Now, here's what they learned as they observed the house of the sluggard. Oh, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come like a robber and want like an armed man. Here's the lesson. Here's the instruction from that house. A little sleep. Not a lot of sleep. Just let me sleep a few more minutes. 5 more minutes. Go out and do that lawn. Just give me 10 minutes. I'll do it. It's 10 minutes. See, it's a little sleep. It's moment by moment. It's inch by inch. And we sink into a lazy lifestyle and mindset with just a little more. Just inch by inch. And before you know it, poverty comes like a bunch of robbers. Now, this poverty, of course, is financial poverty, but it's also moral poverty, and it will be spiritual poverty and intellectual poverty. You will be a poor, wasted person, and you will not have used the gifts and callings and strengths and the creativity that God has given you. They'll all be wasted. Just a little sleep, just a little slumber. Inch by inch, you slide back into a lifestyle that is not diligent, that is basically wasteful and will be so unfulfilling in the end. So I'm warning you, even little things are important. Little things consistently done will produce a lifestyle and a habit that you will not be able to break. This is a very important passage. Please use it with your children. When you see something like this, you see a place all overgrown in almost every neighborhood, there's something like this. People don't cut their lawns, they don't cut the weeds, they don't trim, they don't do anything. Remember, God put Adam in the garden to trim the trees and to cultivate. And they were to cultivate from that garden to go out throughout the world. Okay, number two, the result, the second result, they will be unhappy and live a painful life. Proverbs 15:19 says this, "The way of the lazy is as a hedge of thorns." Now, when we first moved into our house, the people in our house had right outside the back porch big thorn bushes. They had a fence on the other side of it, but these big holly bushes. Now, there is no way you could walk through those bushes. They would shred you. They were sticky and they were tight and they would just cut you up. So what he's saying is a lazy person is as a hedge of thorns. In other words, their lifestyle hurts them, strikes them. They're unhappy and restless and dissatisfied. They lack fulfillment. They're always frustrated because they're lazy. They've always got so much to do, they just can't get to it. Piles of things. They're undisciplined and they're lazy. And consequently, they are unhappy people. And number three, very closely related to number two. Number three, you will destroy relationships and your work. Proverbs 18:9. "He also who is slack in his work is the brother." He's got a brother, and his brother is to him who destroys. In other words, lazy people destroy relationships. This can happen in a marriage. You have a marriage, and one partner is just totally lazy, and the other partner has got to do all the work. And it's not long before it ruins a relationship. And the one partner, the one spouse says, "Why do I have to do everything?" Well, the person is lazy, but his brother is the person who destroys. The person who just ruins things, hurts things. And so you leave a lot of people around you frustrated because you're lazy. You procrastinate. You're always behind the eight ball. And you just have so much to do that you never get to, and probably never will get to it. And so in the end, your family member is a destroyer, and you're a destroyer. Now, remedies for laziness. Remedies for laziness. Number one, learn from nature and others. Now, that's exactly what Proverbs says. Go to the ant. So, you've got little children, and look, come up here. Come on. No, come on. You. Come on. I don't have all day. Don't be lazy. Come up here. Come on. So, Lexis hasn't been doing her homework. She's getting behind. She's not done her housework. And she's not done her youth activities. You don't hate me, do you? Thank you. And so I take her, and I did this to my children. Come with me. Let's go outside. Now, come on down here. Look. Look at those ants. Go to the ant, the Bible says. Look at those ants. Look at how busy they are. Busy. And you know, when the winter comes, they'll have all their food there. But I want to show you one more thing. Would you just come with me? Okay. Every morning, look at the birds. They're up before us. The birds come. And what are birds doing in the morning? The early bird catches the worm. That's an English proverb. It's not a proverb from Solomon. And so let's go look at the birds. Every morning they're up there and they're eating. They're up early because the worms come out. The morning's cool and there's moisture on the ground. Birds don't come out at 12 noon looking for worms because the worms are smart. Worms go back in their holes so they don't get burned up. Now, birds that get up at 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, they don't get any worms, okay? Let's go to the birds and let's go to the ants. And you can sit down. You'll have much reward for this. So, okay, she's so sweet. Take your children outside and show them nature. That's what it says. Go to the ant. Learn from the animals. See what they're like. You know, really, God's nature is a busy place. It's a busy place. Go to a jungle. And you will see everyone busy preparing their food. Laziness destroys things. The animal kingdom works. God works. He wants us to work. And when you see work that way, it becomes something precious. Sometimes it can be overwhelming because there is a curse upon work. There is a curse upon it. But there is still joy to it and there is fulfillment to it. Secondly, heed God's warnings. My dear friends, this is a matter of obedience. We have a whole series of warnings I've just given you. There are ones in the New Testament also that we are not to be lazy and we're not to be spiritually lazy. The Christian life is to be a life of diligence. Romans chapter 12, we're told. Be diligent, we're told. Right here, we're told in Proverbs, the precious possession of a man is a spirit of diligence. And so that's why when you teach your children to be responsible, and to be self-disciplined, and to invite work, and to take responsibility, you are helping them and teaching them one of the most valuable lessons in life. And the Lord wants it. The authors of the book, The Mentoring Relationship, The Connecting, wrote this, Bobby Clinton. We have observed that most people cease learning by the age of 40. I'm afraid to say that a lot of people I know, 25, have ceased by the age of learning. But that we mean they no longer actively pursue knowledge, understanding, and experience that will enhance their capacity to grow and contribute to others. Most simply rest on what they already know. But those who finish their life well maintain a positive learning attitude all their lives. You know, we have a man here who teaches our senior citizens, and he is 96 years of age. And whenever I see him, he's telling me about some commentaries he's reading. He's telling me about some authors he's read. 96 years of age, and he's still learning. So don't ever stop learning. Stop reading. Stop growing. God wants that. God wants you to use that 3-pound brain and get the most out of it. Get all the rubber you can get out of the tires. Number three, learn from the sluggard. Proverbs 24:32, I received instruction. Look around at lazy people and receive instruction. Look at their house. Their ways are destructive and their ways are unhappy. And number four, seek help from someone else. Throughout Proverbs, we've seen seek wise counsel. Don't go it alone. Now, some of us were raised in homes that we were never taught work. In fact, work was hated. Sometimes you can be brought up in a home where dad and mom, they just talk bad about work. Get out of work. Show up late. Let's get every day we can get out of the boss and do as little as possible. They grow up in a home where that's being repeated over and over again. So after a while, they grow up and they're basically lazy-minded people. Just get out of as much as you can so you can have your time in front of the TV. And or just sit around, whatever you like to do or not do. So we become Christians and we know God wants us to have a spirit of diligence and labor for Him. And we've got this wrong mindset. Well, then go and get help from someone else. There are many people in this church that can help you. There are things you can do to break a pattern of behavior that is anti-work, anti-diligence, that is basically a very lazy disposition. You can break that. You can learn the opposite. Draw on the invaluable help here in this church. And I would say to you that if there is something that is causing you to just waste your brain and your time, get rid of it. If it's a TV, get it out of your house if you can't control it. If you can control the TV, that's fine. If you can control those videos, that's fine. Or that computer, that's fine. But when you can't control it, and it controls you, and it makes you a lazy, unproductive Christian, then you've got to do something. You have to take action. So I want to call upon you to meet with people. Take someone out to lunch. Say, give me some keys to diligence. Give me some help that I could be a person using the talents and gifts God has given me. Because the precious possession of a man is his diligence. And number five, you can pray about this. God wants you to pray about this because it's a character issue. It's a character issue. And 1 Timothy 4:7 said, train yourself to godliness. If you want to be a godly, mature Christian person, it's going to cost you. You're going to have to seek it like you seek wisdom. You're going to have to be self-disciplined. You're going to have to say no to certain things. You cannot be a mature, disciplined Christian for Jesus Christ if you're lazy. It's not impossible. You can be a Christian and be lazy, but you cannot be a mature, productive Christian if you're lazy. It's just not possible. The opposite. So you can pray about this matter. You can take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I grew up lazy. I have a very lazy streak in me. And sometimes there's biological reasons. There's different kind of reasons for that. Some people have the opposite problem. They can't stop working and they need help from that. And it hurts people. So if you find that you have this lazy streak in you, then get help, and there's plenty of help, and you can bring it to the Lord every day and start taking small steps. Train yourself, discipline yourself, exercise yourself in godliness, as the Bible says. And then remember, in our salvation, the Lord always gives us help. When a person becomes a born-again child of God and goes through conversion and receives the offer of salvation that God gives the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a power. It's a power in our life to help us to grow and to mature and to be the kind of person that God wants us to be and to for God to get out of us all that He would like to use us to be, to stretch us. If you put yourself in the Lord's hand, He's going to stretch you. The Lord will never leave you just sit and soak. He will never leave you in comfort zones. That's lazy bones. The Lord is always going to press you and push you and stretch you and make you something you could never dream of. Because the Bible says that in Ephesians chapter 3, that He will do far exceeding above all we could ask or think. So you can call upon the Lord. His Spirit is within you. But if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you are not a child of God. But you can have that. Even today, right now, by simple trust in Jesus Christ, what He did for you on the cross. Will you stand with me as we close in prayer? Just have one moment of silence where I want you to take this issue before the Lord. Maybe there's an area of your life you're lazy in. Maybe there's an area of your life you're very diligent in. And that laziness is hurting you and it's hurting people around you. Just pray about it. Confess it as sin. Seek help from others. Go to nature. Go to the Scriptures. But don't do nothing. And then if you're here this morning, maybe you're a visitor this morning, and you have personally never encountered Jesus Christ. You have never come to the point where your sins are forgiven. You have been the recipient of the Holy Spirit of God. And you have bowed your knee before the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to ask you to do that this morning. I'm going to ask you to say, Father, I have sinned. I have not come the way of the cross. I've sought my own way in life. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior and have His power inside of me to be the kind of person who you want me to be and to grow and to mature. It's by faith. It's by responding to the Holy Spirit of God. You can do that. Father in heaven, we think of how you want to use all of us. Stretch us and push us, expand us, grow us. But so often we hinder this with our laziness and our rebellious spirits and our love for comfort and turning like the door on our bed back and forth, content, satisfied. Push us out of bed. Push us forward. Give us thirst and hunger for growth and learning and spiritual power and renewal. World vision. Help us, Lord, we pray, because we are lazy at heart. Give us your Spirit to help us. In your name, amen.